Karen, when did you first start thinking about running for Congress?
I think I've been thinking about it for a couple years. I've watched our current congressperson and what's been happening in Washington. However, I felt that I had things that I was working on here within the state, certainly 38 studios, that I owed it not only to myself but to the people to continue doing that. I feel like I have done that.
Your message is that you are not a career politician. What difference would it make if you're one of 435 members of Congress rather than David Cicilline being there for the people of Rhode Island?
Well, I look here. I was one voice here at the State House. As a freshman, I was the first Democratic woman freshman to vote no on a budget. I took some hard times from that from Democrats, and I said, give me a good budget and I'll vote for it. The following year, more Democrats voted against it. I turned around, I went back to my district. I was the highest vote getter in the state. And other people here noticed that, and I think they started to try to be the voice for their people, but it hasn't happened. I think I would do the same thing if I was elected to Congress. I'd still be the voice of the people. I just want to represent more people and continue to do what is right, and I think this is the time.
One of the concerns that you cite is the plight of the middle class. How would your approach to trying to help the middle class be different from that of Congressman Cicilline?
I don't see where he has done anything, so anything I do would be more than what he's done already. I can't put my hand on any of his votes that have helped the people here. I don't see where he's brought programs back to our state to help the middle class. I look at Providence, where he was mayor. I look at Woonsocket now, where the mayor's doing a great job in turning that city around. But where has he been? Where has he been promoting the businesses in Rhode Island? That's one way to help.
How would you do that if you were elected to Congress?
I would advocate with the legislation that we do, and I would also look for funds that I could bring back to our state.
From your announcement, it sounds as if you oppose the nuclear agreement made by the United States with Iran. Is that correct? And if so, tell us why you would have voted against it.
I am always for trying to put the olive branch out and work with other countries. The history of Iran has shown us that we get hit with that olive branch. And if you look now, even since that vote's been taken, they are breaking the agreement. I think we have to be very careful. As much as the politicians want to say everything is fine, we've got to look at the safety here of our people. We have to also look at the safety for other countries out there, certain Israel. And certainly there are different sides to this, but again, I'm going to err on the side of safety.
You haven't been shy about criticizing Congressman Cicilline, as we've heard. If he is not a good representative in your view, why has he been reelected twice to Congress?
I would look to maybe the people of this state over the last couple years have started to see that politicians aren't representing them. And I've seen a ground swelling across the state of people standing up. I think also with the master lever, and we voted for that. I think those things will make a difference, but certainly it's the people. When you have standing up for 38 studios, standing up for the tolls, standing up for this bad logo, people are now standing up. It used to be, I'm going to elect my officials and I'm going to trust them. As I've said, I tried building that trust back with the people. I'm going to continue to try to do that for all of Rhode Island, but they now want all their elected officials held accountable to that, and I think this is an election season that we're going to see that.
In touting your own campaign, you point to your chairmanship of the House Oversight Committee, and you're looking for answers on 38 studios, and yet the taxpayers are still paying for that due to how the legislature has voted. What has the Oversight Committee under your control really accomplished in terms of 38 studios?
Oh my goodness, I think it's accomplished so much and probably would take an hour to talk about. But the intent of what I was trying to do is who knew what, when, and we certainly had answered that all along. We look at Mike Corso, we look at how much money he was given, we've looked at the finance part of this. Was there more to uncover? I hope so, and I hope the state police are going to come out and do that, or the FBI. I think the thing that is limiting everybody right now is the lawsuit. Once that lawsuit is completed, or hopefully even before that, the people will get more answers to that. We've had expert testimony come in on that. I've been in contact with the state police. I've shared information with the state police. The SCC coming in, that was a direct result of speaking with them directly and filing a request with them to investigate, and they've come in and they're pursuing that. That would not have happened if we did not have a strong oversight team with me leading it, with the help of Mike Chippendale, who's a Republican. And it was a bipartisanship on that committee. I think we've done a lot.
We saw how in 2010, David Cicilline beat former state rep John Laughlin by 6 points. In 2012, he beat former state police colonel Brandon Daugherty by 12 points. Why will you fare any better than these past Republican candidates?
Again, I think the people are aware of what's going on. And I ask, what has David Cicilline done in his tenure there? John Laughlin ran a wonderful campaign and ran on the issues. But again, it was a point in time where there wasn't a track record yet, congressional track record. And you know what? He should still be held accountable for what's happening in Providence. And they have not been able to get out from under some of the damage that he caused to the city. And I think most importantly, what we're not seeing today is politicians standing up and saying, you know what, I made a mistake, or you know what, I did something wrong and I want to fix it. We don't see it with David Cicilline in Providence. We don't see it with our governor. We have lots of people saying, oh, I did something wrong with this new slogan. The buck stops with the governor, and we have to have politicians that say, you know what, I did something and I'm here and I'm going to make it better. I've always said that the job creations bill, I took a vote on that. And it wasn't 38 studios that I took a vote on, but I took a vote on that. And I've stayed here and I've continued to try to get the answers to the people. And I think that's one thing that we are lacking with politicians today that I'm willing to do.
Well, we should note that David Cicilline did apologize for how he described the financial circumstances in Providence. And that was after the fact, after he had won election to Congress. Moving on, did you speak with John Laughlin and or Brendan Daugherty before making up your mind to run for Congress?
I've had correspondence with John Laughlin when he was in the House, and I've had some sense. Certainly, as I was thinking about doing this, we have had conversations, and I'm going to continue to converse with him.
Was there any particular advice that he gave you about this campaign?
Off the top of my head, I don't think so, but we are going to be meeting.
How much money do you believe you need to raise to run an effective campaign?
I'm not putting a dollar amount on this. I am running a campaign for the people, and whether that's small donations coming in from the people, which will be greatly appreciated, I'm not looking to raise millions from lobbyists that will then try to control my vote.
Karen McBeth, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you.